Radio Ghana.
Good evening, welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. My name is Abraham Asari. Internet sedition, trouble brews in Kallio over new assembly creation. Africa Watch magazine stirs up controversy again with latest grading of Ghanaian politicians. And Dr. Edward Mahama decides to contest again as the flag bearer of PNC for election 2012. What new things does he bring to bear on the fortunes of the PNC? This is Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. 0264418767. 0264418767 is the text line for tonight's program. Wherever you are, it's gbcghana.com. The announcement of new districts by the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development recently generated some joy. For many people in these new districts, the new status will enhance their development and give them some independence. However, it is not all smooth sailing for some new districts. Earlier this evening, the people of Kallio in the Upper West region were up in arms because of a misunderstanding. So what generated the confusion and what is the situation now? Swala Abdul Wahab is our correspondent in Kallio and he's joined us now with an update. Good evening to you, Swala. So what is the concerns of the youth there?
Good evening, Abraham. The main concern of the youth at Kallio, or the precise Kallio traditional area, is the fact that they find it very difficult to understand why, after the government has announced the creation of the district for the people there, had to reverse it to another area, which is Nadoli East District. They believe that the Kallio traditional area deserves a district of its own, and they do not understand why the district should be reversed to a different area. This is their main concern. And this evening, just before 6 o'clock, we had invitation from the people to come and cover a news conference, ostensibly to express their displeasure about the recent development. But when we got to the place, just before we entered the town of the Kallio town itself, we met a roadblock. And the road was flooded with people, men, women, and even children. They blocked the road with pieces of wood and some lorry tires. And the blockade was not only on that side. It was the same on the other side, and there was one tree in the middle. So, in fact, it was a bit difficult for the vehicle that we were using to be able to pass through. But because of the familiarity with the driver and the understanding that we were pressmen and we were not passengers and that we were coming to cover them, they allowed us to pass. So we were just about settling for the news conference when we heard the sound of the police siren vehicles. The police arrived there in their numbers, and immediately they alighted from the vehicle. He started firing warning shots. And I was so surprised because not even the children among them were moved to run away or to do something that would indicate that the gunshots shots were meant to scare them. So the situation started developing into, you know, more serious, more chaos, you know, situation. But all of a sudden, I saw the regional police commander appear, and he tried to calm down his men so that he would talk to the people. So what he did was that he looked for some of the leaders of the youth, and he spoke to them. He told them that it wasn't proper for them to block the road because the public, the road is a public property, and everybody is entitled to use the road. So the best thing they should do is to remove the roadblock before they could discuss whatever problem they have with them.
So there was no news conference this evening?
No, the news conference itself didn't come on at all. What actually happened was that the regional police commander was able to persuade the leaders to remove the roadblock and he addressed them. What he actually told them was that the regional security council held a meeting today to discuss the issue. So it isn't that the authorities in the region are not aware of the problem, but he advised them to use laid-down procedures to address their grievances instead of resorting to the scene that we have seen this evening. And after the time we were living there, I have just arrived at the office. A lot of the youth were still hanging around, trying to see what will happen next.
Okay, thank you very much, Swala, for talking to us. We have now on the line the Assembly Member for Lohu, Callistus Haruna. Good evening to you, Callistus. Can you tell us what exactly is the situation, I mean the problem from your side?
Nothing, Kaleo. It's now a bit calm. There's nothing going on now because of the intervention of the regional police commander. Our people have understood what he told us to do. The road has been unblocked and vehicles are moving, but we are very much aggrieved and we are going to meet tomorrow once again to consider the issue in total.
So before the police came, what exactly had you planned to do?
Not to cause mayhem, but just register our displeasure about the attitude of comment towards the people of the Kaleo traditional area, as if we are never qualified to take the district or to have a district. And they know that by every criteria, we are qualified because we have the land, we have the people, we have the facilities, we have a lot. And this is what I expected, that if anything at all, we are not saying that no place should be given a district, but we deserve a district.
Have you found out from the Ministry of Local Government why you haven't been given a district, an assembly at Kaleo?
But why that temptation to call us by a name today and tomorrow you think that we don't merit that name?
No, the question is, yes, it could have been a mistake. So have you found out why?
A mistake. That will be an unpardonable mistake to say that without doing due diligence, you go to announce that we are qualified for a district, and tomorrow you say that it was a mistake.
The question I'm asking is that, whatever it is, whether a mistake or not, have you found out why?
Indeed, our people are on the ground, and the information we are getting is that now, for example, you've taken the district from Kaleo, you are sending it to Issa. Comparatively, in every sphere, I don't think that Issa merits that in more than Kaleo.
Callistus, I'd be grateful if you could answer my question. Have you found out why the district has not been given to Kaleo?
I think that issue, to find out why it has been taken away, is neither here nor there. Therefore, I don't think we have to contend that issue anyway. By whatever means they decided to pronounce Kaleo as a district, it still holds. And that is why we think that we have been treated with contempt.
Hold on, Callistus, we have the Deputy Minister of the Upper West Region, Cesar Kale, on the line. Mr. Kale, welcome to Behind the News. So, what do you
think? Thank you very much.
What do you think about the behavior or the reaction you are getting from Kaleo about this assembly situation?
Well, thank you very much, my brother, and good evening to Terrence Lissi. I think, importantly, what we need to do even as a region is to convey our gratitude to the President, His Excellency the President, for adding two important districts to the Upper West Region. Because, you know, we had 9 districts, and now we are going to have 11 districts. In fact, historically, in other words, there have been a number of communities, a number of traditional areas who have previously actually yearned and cried for districts to keep within their communities. And Kaleo, in fact, traditional area is one of them. I'm aware of the Nandom traditional area, also aware of the West Mbele area, the Atiema, Bisi, and Issa area, and other places. But you know, if we were to go by what the Electoral Commission is even saying, if we were to go by the modus operandi in Christian districts. Otherwise, by our population dynamics, it means that we wouldn't have been happy at all. Now, I can, in fact, sympathize with my brothers and sisters in the Kaleo traditional area. It's just like your father bringing a Christmas dress, showing it to you that that is your dress, and you jubilating over it, and later on telling you that that dress is no more yours. Definitely, as a human being, you react in a very angry manner. Because when the announcement, the euphoria, the energy, the ecstasy that actually greeted the announcement of the district was so huge that naturally, if it has turned out to be that Kaleo is no more a district, they will by all means react as human beings.
So what changed? What happened after the first announcement?
Just to think of it, you see, they're not only district. I think they must be so much appreciative of the fact that the government has added one more district to the Nadoli district. You know, Nadoli indeed had two constituencies. We had the Nadoli East and the Nadoli West. And in fact, at the time of even creating Nadoli district, it was very difficult as to where to site the district capital. Atima people wanted it, Kaleo people wanted it, Nadoli people wanted it, Busia people wanted it, and finally, the lot fell on Nadoli. Now, over the years, Kaleo traditional area and the other areas have been lobbying for this district. And sincerely speaking, I think the first announcement that came, I have been told, was more or less a mishap and a slip. So, government had to sit down again to reconsider so many issues and to realign its decision. And that is what actually came out today as the Kaleo Nadoli district, Bafiema Buse Ifa district.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kale, what is the name of this new district? Is it Kaleo Nadoli?
The new district indeed. Kaleo have not been left out entirely because it is Kaleo Nadoli district.
With the capital where?
And, with the capital in Nadoli. And the other one is Buse Ifa Bafiema district, with the capital in Ifa. And I think that in spite of what has actually happened, our brothers and sisters in Kaleo should actually come to terms with government. They should temper justice with mercy. We know that it says that it has come out clearly. It came out earlier on that Kaleo was going to be a district capital. It was all over in the news media. But today it has changed. And that's why I think that the opinion leaders in the area should come to terms with the government. Because there were two sisters in one district. The East, the Nadoli East and the Nadoli West. They were the two sister constituencies. And I think that as they grow, they should be thinking about bringing up their other sister apart.
Okay, Mr. Kale, I'll come back to you.
This district because it wants to ensure that it speed up the developmental process in the district. That's why actually this district has come about.
Okay.
As I stated earlier on, when by what we have heard from the Electoral Commission, following the population dynamics, perhaps these districts wouldn't have been created.
I'll come back to you, Mr. Kale. I'll be grateful if you could just hold on briefly. Callisters, I'm sure that the explanation that the minister has given, the deputy minister has given, is quite satisfactory to you.
In fact, thank you very much. I think the deputy minister really is, let me categorically state that he's out of topic. Is it now that they are creating a new district, calling it Nadoli Kaleo district?
What have you heard? What exactly do you know?
Yes, because we know of Nadoli district. I've been a presiding member of that district. So is he telling us that they have created a new district, naming it Nadoli Kaleo district?
Okay, let's turn from him. Mr. Kale, is that a new district, Kaleo Nadoli? Is that a new name for the new district?
Every community, given the opportunity, we say that it wants a district, or it wants a district capital. And that's what I'm saying, that I understand the plight of the Kaleo.
No, what he's saying is that he knows that the district is called Nadoli. So, but you are saying
now is going to be realigned. It's going to now be named as Kaleo Nadoli.
That's how it's going to be called now.
Kaleon is now in the limelight, and is so eminent in the near future to also be named as a district.
Okay,
so that's what I'm saying, that if he, all the communities that were lobbying for these districts cannot be given at the same time.
Okay, I'll come back to you.
If by, by whatever means, they were called earlier on announcement team, and today they have withdrawn it. That is unfortunate anyway.
Okay.
But I think that's a bitter pill all of us need to contend with, because the peace of this region is actually very important.
Okay, I'll come back to you, Mr. Kali. Now, Kalistus, he says the name is Kaliu Nadoli. That, to some extent, should satisfy you.
Indeed, I don't think you want to anger the people of Kaliu by saying that. No, that is not the way to pacify a people. Angry people, that is not the way to pacify them. But just trying to say it's now Nadoli Kaliu district. What do you mean by that? In the first place, the question is it that we don't merit a district?
Now, I'm sure. Hello, Kalistus.
With all the things that we are qualified, you are going to now say that we are now parasites. Is that the way you want to look at us?
Kalistus, do you know what qualifies a people or a place for a district?
Indeed, that is what I'm saying. If that thing cannot qualify Kaliu traditional area, there's no area within Nadoli there that will be qualified.
Why not?
Because in every aspect, we are ahead. And if anybody doubts it, then the person should come with the issues at stake, and we'll prove that.
You are ahead in terms of what?
I say everything. If you are talking about size, you're talking about population, you're talking about even initial facilities, we are there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kalistus. Thank you so much for talking to us tonight. Kalistus Haruna is a assembly member for Loho. Back to you, Mr. Kali. So what is the way forward? Because obviously, people are aggrieved.
In fact, as I stated earlier on, I really sympathize with the people of the Kaliu traditional area for, this kind of reversal. But as I said, you know, to err is human and to forgive is divine. You know, the slave has been made. It doesn't mean that Kaliu doesn't qualify. By all standards, in fact, Kaliu traditional area is one of the strongest traditional areas as far as the Nadoli district or even Upper West is concerned. But you know, it is not always that you think that maybe because they are the strongest and they definitely must get this. Sometimes government also uses its own lenses to look at the situation on the ground and say,
But is it true? Is it true, Mr. Kali?
The opportunity to also bridge up the gap.
Is it true then that? I'm sorry, sir. Is it true that Kaliu, in terms of development, population, and all that, is ahead of Nadoli? Is that true?
No. Well, not Nadoli. I don't think you were talking about Nadoli, because Nadoli, obviously, as the district capital, has a lot of infrastructure more than Kaliu. That one, I believe, is, you were not talking about Kaliu. Maybe you were talking about the other side.
No, that's what he mentioned. He mentioned Nadoli.
Is that, you know, where the district has been shifted to is a constituency by on its own. We have two important constituencies. We have the Nadoli East constituency and the Nadoli West. So when you look at it, if a district is supposed to be carved out, the West had a district, the district capital. I mean, one would think that definitely, maybe to bridge up the gap in a way, it should go to the East. It doesn't mean that Kaliu does not. And as I've stated earlier on, Kaliu indeed is one of the prominent, you know, traditional areas that we know as far as Upper West is concerned. But I think that it's out of maybe fairness and also to ensure that we have some kind of balance in terms of development. That is why the government decided that, well, let's also give it to these people. In spite of their vulnerability and the low number of population or whatever it is. But that can also stir them up, or that can also bring them up at par with the other, you know, districts. I believe it was in this place that the constituency was actually created. This place is actually very unfortunate. And I want to plead with the opinion leaders, plead with the youth in particular, and Mr. Kanisu is my very good friend. They should actually look at the issue and let all understand, because this kind of pull and, you know, push and brouhaha will not actually settle the issue for
okay.
That. If they decide that we are giving it out, okay, our sisters, take it. So that we all know that, yes, they indeed qualified, and they were even given. But they have decided that, well, for peace and tranquility, for unity, Let's give it to our sisters and brothers in the East. And I think that will be a very beautiful thing to be done.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kale.
They do not qualify. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I'm saying that the whole standard they are in. But the only thing is that, well, the unexpected has happened, and we must all just fall in line with it.
Thank you very much.
The unity of this country.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kale. Mr. Kale is the Deputy Upper West Regional Minister. You're listening to Behind the News, and this program is live on Radio Ghana and on the internet at gbcghana.com. The Africa Watch magazine has stirred the owner's nest once again after it released another performance index of members of parliament and other politicians, including the president and his vice. Already, some members of parliament have raised serious concerns about their grading. Some are questioning the basis for the grading. For some observers, however, the move by Africa Watch will help the MPs to set up. But the question still remains as to how the assessment was done. What weight should be put on this index? First, let's ask what the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Mark Okwe, thinks about the grading. Good evening to you, Prof. Okwe. Welcome to Behind the News.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, so currently, by Africa Watch magazine rating, you are the best politician in Ghana because you had A. What does that make you feel?
Oh, I mean, it's nice for someone to say something good about you generally. And I would rather not go into certain controversial areas as such, except to use it as an occasion to encourage young politicians generally to work towards commitment and also realize that this is a public service. So we trust that it will be a source of encouragement to all of us, particularly the youth.
So then it is a reflection, actually, of the kind of politician Professor Mark Okwe is.
But I've not even seen the publication, you know. I've only been told a few things about this in the media. But I'm a very, very, what I would say, analytical person. And I think it's worthy of looking at this analytically. And people are entitled to raise issues as to how this is actually done as a whole. I mean, whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. So I think we shall all look at this more critically later.
Then on the other side of the coin, we can also say that for those who had, say, grade F, it actually reflects the kind of work they are doing.
No, I mean, it may be unfair to some people. I mean, it happens in social science research. It may be very, very unfair to some people. And these things are worthy of critical examination.
If it's a critical examination, what exactly do you want, do you wish it to be done?
Somebody may start a thing, and he may have a good intention, but if in the process, maybe because of some lapses, the process is not fair to some people, surely it is worthy of examination.
Is it unfair to them because they didn't do well, because they're not giving good grades?
No, I mean, you see, we have valuable aspects of giving a questionnaire. The system of conducting an assessment may be unfair to some group of persons for one reason or the other. And for that matter, certain deficiencies may be corrected in future data collection.
And that is why you may have a margin of error, I believe.
No, pardon?
That's why you may have a margin of error.
There is always some margin of error or the other. And in fact, margin of error in social science goes beyond even that. It goes also into the nature of questionnaire, the questions that may be asked. How critical have you objectively observed everyone? And then you can correct certain maybe lapses. But I think it's a good exercise for us all to keep on being assessed. And after all, the media make all manner of remarks concerning politicians. And people are entitled, once you're in public service, to make assessments. But they must also be mindful of the fact that even they themselves are not infallible. And the process itself may have errors.
But then we can say that in as much as those who have been graded well are quite comfortable with their grading, those who were not graded too well should take it in good faith and work harder next time.
Well, you know, if you believe that an error has been made, even we do that with regard to examiners and external examiners, that's why we have them, especially at higher level, including doctoral thesis and so on, you are entitled to raise queries, and you realize that sometimes the queries are found to be genuine. So it's not a matter of simply someone celebrating and someone not celebrating. No, it's a matter of critically examining even these very assessments from time to time, so that at whatever is a good intention will become better and better in future.
I remember that last year when this same magazine came up with this release, these gradings, Parliament invited the editor, you know, to its privileges committee. He never showed up.
Now, I haven't, for example, seen this report. When we all see it and we analyze it, we'll come to certain conclusions. But I'm only saying that we must be mindful of the fact that because some people have carried out a survey, they are not sacrosanct. And if the survey is not fair to someone, of course, it must be seriously examined. And if it's not fair to a large number of people, then it must even be examined more critically and more seriously.
So then you are sure there could be an effective way of grading MPs, for instance?
Beg your pardon?
You believe there could be an effective way of grading MPs, our members of parliament?
I believe in the process of grading MPs.
You believe in that process?
Oh, definitely. You cannot stop the public from making assessments or making comments. But I'm saying such assessments must be based on very strong, valid criteria. Because a social science research can be really, really full of gaps sometimes. And of course, then it's not worth it.
So will Parliament be inviting the editor of the Africa Watch magazine to furnish it with the method or the basis for the grading?
I think it's very, very fair for people to know exactly what are the parameters of the assessment. And of course, they may be right, but even if you are right, you must make full disclosure for other people to know your basis and to judge you. I am not going to say because I've been adjudged so well, then definitely I must be defensive of whatever is being said there. I don't think like that at all. I mean, I'm not like that. The important thing is that, you see, the MP is a legislator. The MP works on committees. The MP brings questions in Parliament. The MP makes statements. The MP is interested, for example, in constitutional review affairs, something that I took a very critical part in, and so on and so forth. The MP is going to examine loans and make contributions on them. It is also a house of accountability, for which matter the MP should be able to ask questions and also contribute towards matters of accountability, including public accounts reports and so on. I mean, it's a whole gamut of activity. And serving the people in the constituency and lobbying for development projects for them, and also using the little common fund well, showing clearly by way of accountable indices that I've helped a student so-and-so, his picture is there, his application letter is there, it's at the council, it can be verifiable. I mean, these are all aspects of the whole range of an MP's work. In fact, when I heard part of the news this evening, it would interest you where I was. I was with a constituent fighting for her rights at a particular place. You know, so these things are all part of it, and I've just now come to my church and I'm about to go home. So the MP, and in fact, someone has just told me that he's at home waiting for me. So it's a whole variety of areas, and when you are making assessments, really, you must show the public how you are going about doing it. Because the issue of methodology is very crucial in social science. And in fact, of course, it's serious social science analysis.
And it is possible to be assessed on all these fronts and still not do too well.
So you see, they may have a good point, a good intention. In fact, I don't know. They may be doing it quite well. But they must demonstrate that they really are doing it quite well. Justice must not only be done, it must be manifestly seen to be done.
But
so,
do you,
it doesn't matter really what has been the good thing that has been said about a particular person or not. The important thing really is that we must all make sure that every good intention is improved well, so that it will really be a contribution to good governance in this country.
But do you think that this could negatively affect some members of parliament, especially those who did not do too well?
Well, you know, that is the more reason why people must know criteria and people must assess this thing very, very well. And I even including not only the questionnaire system, but the panel system and the cumulative observation system. I mean, there are social science techniques, and they must show us what they are using, and this can be improved upon if people know exactly what is being done.
All right, Prof, we thank you very much for talking to us tonight. And
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Mike Okwei, on the line now. He's Franklin Kujo, he's Executive Director of Imani Ghana. Mr. Kujo, good evening to you. Welcome to Behind the News. So, Africa Watch magazine, it's done a good job, I'm sure. What do you think?
Well, thank you very much to your listeners. Ordinarily, everybody would be wondering if this was needed or not at all. In a country where we do not have many indices measuring the performance of our public officials, you may want to say that, like it or not, the Africa Watch index may be welcome in one, maybe welcome, but not entirely, because we've had many protestations or protests rather as to the methodology that has been adopted. But to the extent that it appears to make some sort of impact on the overall workings of our public officials, you may say that somehow it's welcome. But I wouldn't I wouldn't buy it entirely. This would be my opinion from it.
Now, so you're saying that we do not have indices for measuring the performance of our MPs. Should we have it in place officially?
Well, we should. I mean, what is closer to having something of that or the sort is what I think Professor Niedu had at the castle, basically some sort of monitoring evaluation of the various ministries, departments, and agencies. But someone can also say that that is supposed to be that is government driven, and so may not necessarily paint the exact picture that we need. And so, to the extent that we don't have many ways of quantifying what our public officials do, we may say this Africa Watch thing may be given some sort of welcome. But as I say, the authors themselves haven't conclusively done their work because they haven't told us what criteria they have used. And so it's a bit worrying.
Yes, indeed. But then if based on this we would want to set up something like that, or, you know, what kind of indices come to mind that we should be using as a measure?
Well, there'll be differing ways of doing it anyway. I mean, we at Imani recently conducted something similar, public perceptions of how the public institutions work. And we just decided to use a three-pronged approach. The independence of the various institutions, the public institutions. We also thought that the ability to communicate effectively what the institutions do. And then also whether whatever the institutions have done or do have a transformative impact on society in general. I mean, we thought this would be defining means of measuring the effectiveness of public institutions. But again, that is what we as Imani thought. We don't know what criteria the Africa Watch people are using. It's safe to say that they have mentioned certain parameters, good governance, but I mean, those parameters they mentioned are very broad and they may not mean anything until they have told us fully what the
academy. But the political parties have primaries, and ultimately we have the general election. Why don't we use these as a way of assessing the performance of our MPs, rather than, you know, once in a while coming up with some things like this? So sometimes that's quite, you know, detraction, detractive, destructive, I say.
If I heard your question well, you mean we should be happy with prophets as this? Or you mean...
What I mean is that the elections themselves are a way of assessing the performance of the MPs. If you win the election, that means that the people think or they perceive you to be a good MP, and that's why they want to retain you.
Unfortunately, elections are just a one-time thing. They are just a base event, unfortunately. And the country, most of us are not sophisticated enough to understand that they go beyond sharing their resource and water in those days. And so it's a very difficult way of measuring the effectiveness of the government. I would have thought that we should be able to strengthen some of these indices when they come. And we should develop our own and then use them for them, use them as a yardstick to measure the effectiveness of our public office holders, rather than wait for a cyclical 4 years. And then make that judgment call. It's always a very difficult incident. But again, the media has been playing its role effectively, I think, like it or not, even though most of the media appear to be owned politically, to the extent that they are holding public officials to the fire, holding their feet to the fire in a way should also suffice. But there's the other aspect which we lack, which is the rigor. We need to do rigorous analysis to be able to determine whether people are actually working and not necessarily filling spaces in the public office.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Franklin Kujo, Executive Director of Imani Ghana think tank. We must apologize for that noisy telephone line. Well, now David Isuming is NDC MP for Shao Sudoku. He's also on the line now. Mr. Isuming, good evening. Welcome to Radio Ghana tonight. As an MP, do you think that this process of grading MPs is going to help our democratic process?
Well, I have no problem in the assessing members of parliament. I mean, just as some organizations sign performance contracts, I think that members of parliament could also, you know, be assessed to check them on their work. But if you look at the way African Watch is doing it, you realize that there is some mischief behind the work that they are doing. I mean, as I'm speaking to you now, members of parliament, especially on the Special Committee on Poverty Reduction, at a meeting assessing ministries on their performance since during the 2011 budget. And that is being done currently. Can you see the performance of MPs during this meeting? I mean, you will like it. We are assessing the ministries. The ministers are appearing and they are giving account of what they are doing. And for me, I think this is very crucial and critical to our work as members of parliament. I don't think African Watch has any is privileged to what we are doing as far as this activity is concerned. So for me, I think that there's some kind of mischief behind what they are doing.
Mischief for what reasons or for what purposes?
Well, it will best be answered by them. Because like I'm saying, I mean, we have various ways of assessing members of parliament if we want to do after all. I mean, the performances are not only on the floor of parliament. And just as I'm telling you now, if you care to find out where we are holding this meeting, when the ministers are being critically examined based on the 2011 budget, I mean, you will appreciate the work of members of parliament. We have the recall from our various constituencies. I mean, we should have been in those areas by now. That we have been recalled to come and do this assessment. And that's what we are doing now within this week.
But does Parliament have its own means of assessing its members?
Oh, that is not known to me. But I mean,
so it would be proper to have an independent body assessing parliamentarians?
I have no problem with that.
And you are a member of Parliament. It's not strange that you are giving yourself high marks. What do you think?
That is not even the crucial issue. The performance of the member to the constituent is even crucial. And for me, I think that is one area that members have been assessed. Because if you are not a good member of parliament, I don't think your constituents will re-elect you.
And you think that all MPs are doing a good job in their constituencies?
So long as you are re-elected, so long as but people have confidence in you. It shows that you are performing. I mean.
But you agree with me that in this country, the performance of the NP is not the only factor that gets him re-elected, because the strength of the party in the particular area can make anybody get that ticket into parliament, even if he's not good enough.
Well, maybe you need to also go and contest, and then you assess to see whether what you are.
No, but is that not the reality, Mr. Sumeng? We know that the NPP and the NDC, PNC, CPP, they all have their own strongholds, and sometimes whoever stands on the ticket of that party gets into parliament. That is obvious.
So the best thing is for you to also put yourself up.
No, it is not a matter of me. We are doing an assessment. We are actually discussing what the situation is in this country, and you know, that is to say that it is not just the performance of a particular MP or personality that gets him elected. So an election cannot be a good basis for assessing such a person.
My brother, I have no problem if we want to assess members of parliament based on, you know, well-known criteria. And just as I'm saying, I mean, the performance on the floor also matter. Then on committees also matter. And then your performance, I mean, in the constituency is crucial. And I think that for me, that is also key. And so, I mean, and so long as you remain in the house, you gain experience, you know, so that also counts. And so for them to come out, I mean, with one short, measure to just assess members, for me, I think that it's unfortunate. And they must, you know, reassess their stand on this issue.
So finally, would you say that it would be proper for maybe Parliament to contract an independent, you know, body to maybe in the future assess members of Parliament?
Well, just as we are saying that MMDAs to sign performance contracts for them to also discharge their duties based on the taxpayers' money, I have no problem when Parliament also, that is also being funded by the taxpayers' money, will have to be assessed. I mean, I have no problem with that at all.
Dave, thank you very much for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good night. David Assuming is MP for Shayo Sudoku, is an NDC MP. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can also get us on all our original FM stations. Here are some of the text messages that you have sent. Ali Wahab, the people of Kaliu should not take the law into their own hands, because we are blessed with the listening president. Dr. Winfu must be banned from his church. He does not know God. Posterity would not forgive him. Lawrence in Avongo, addressing the GMA president. Baba Musa in UDS says, what is the criteria for selecting a district capital? Nana Yao, Junkwa, Cape Coast. Now, if doctors who were trained by the taxpayer, paid by taxpayer, and they are watching taxpayers to die, God is watching you, doctors. Dobi Ebenezer, UEW. Man Nico from Wa says, Nana, try and come 2012 and save us. Karim Banat Sabari, the creation of the new districts without consulting opinion leaders can bring problems in the country. You are listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra and in the internet. The address is gbcghana.com. Well, there is a common rhyme which goes this way. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. For if you persevere, you will never fail. Try again. Well, would one be right in saying that this is what has motivated Dr. Edward Mahama to stake another claim to the presidential ticket of the People's National Convention, PNC, for the fifth time, from a representation of four MPs in Parliament in 2004, the highest in the history of the PNC? The party has its fortunes dwindled to two members of Parliament. Well, in 2008, under the leadership of Dr. Edward Mahama. But Dr. Mahama, however, says he is not discouraged by this, and he's joined us now. Good evening to you, Dr. Mahama. Welcome to Radio Ghana. You want to try again, even though you've not succeeded first, second, third, fourth times?
Well, do not let me sing to you. You can do it if you really try, but you must try, and try again. Yes, Listen, I believe that, you know, we do things motivated to do them. And I am motivated to run this time believing that the party that Dr. Lemana established before he died has been a key instrument for the stability of Ghana. And I've led it through this time. And I do not want to see the party out of parliament. The issues that people talk about, yes, we were four, we have dwindled down to two. Those are facts. But what happened, and we dwindled down to two. I'm not going to go into that because that is in the past. But the fact of the matter is that I am presenting myself on the advice of the revered Council of Elders of the PNC, who came to me in July and said, Doctor, at this particular point, we think that the party is in danger. And if you were to leave as you have indicated you want to do, maybe the party next time will be out of parliament. Now, the reason they said so is because, if you remember, coming up to the runoff in 2008, you know, the second round for the presidential, I convened a National Executive Committee of the party to decide whether to support Nana Akufo-Addo for the presidency or Gay Adam Mills for the presidency. At that meeting, there were 39 members of the committee who were present. And I, when it was put to vote, the party split in the midline. 19 voted for us to support Nanado and the MPP, and 19 voted for us to support Atta Mills and the NDC. I was holding the casting vote. And at that time, I told them, I am voting for PNC with my vote. I won't vote for Nanado and the MPP. I won't vote for Atta Mills and the NDC. I'm voting for PNC. The minutes of the meeting will reflect that I said so at that time. Because when I saw the party divided right in the middle, I knew that we were going to have a problem for this party. Now, I had told people who were approaching me to support them that if we go to this meeting and the party voted to support NDC, I'll be ahead of them as leader supporting NDC and the Atta Mills. If they voted to support MPP, I'll be ahead of them. But they voted to support neither. It was split. This particular time, I've been urged not to let the split remain in the party by some people who are concerned for the party. And I believe also that it is responsible not to hand over a divided party to another person. So I'm coming back first to unite the party, second, to reverse the dwindling fortunes of the party in parliament.
But that dwindling of fortunes of the PNC happened under your watch. What are you going to do differently this time?
What will be different is that those who caused it are gone.
Who are they?
There were people who benefited from the party, who were in parliament. For example, from 2005 to 2008, when the judge allowed us to go to Congress, there were party executives who held the party tethered in court. Indeed, one of the high court judges in Ghana took I and the other person, I won't mention him, into his chambers and asked the guy, why do you have Dr. Mahama in my court? As I was coming to court today, I heard Nanado is in while campaigning. Atta Mills is somewhere campaigning. And you have Dr. Mahama who's contesting with these people in my court. What did he say? He said, Dr. Mahama is a dictator. Well, after the election, the person left the party. Doesn't care that I'm still in the party. What he should have done would be to come back to Congress and remove me. He didn't do that. So the people who brought the party down have expelled themselves from the party.
But Dr. Mahama, you have never been able to go beyond being 5%, I mean, as a presidential candidate. What other motivation is there for you to think that you can now win the presidency?
Let me tell you, the presidency is the top prize. But the presidency is not the only prize when you run. In 2000, during the first ever presidential debate in Ghana, Edward Mahama proposed that it was a PNC policy to put in place the National Health Insurance Scheme. You can go back and watch it. I remember Senator Paul Simon, the late Senator Paul Simon from the USA, who was one of the moderators of the debate, asked a further question on this national health insurance issue. Today is a policy. Thank God for President Kufuor hearing of it, knowing that it was a good plan, put it into effect, and now Ghanaians are benefiting from the national health insurance. I had the opportunity at that platform to propose something that is now of benefit to the nation. I could name other things that we have discussed. Basically, for me, even maintaining the stability of Ghana. For example, in 2000, The parliament then, if you remember, was 200 members of parliament. NPP, which won the presidency, didn't have 101 seats in parliament. And the first order of business, the first order of business of any new government is first to elect a speaker. Then the speaker will convene parliament for the president-elect to be sworn in. I'm telling you, we, the PNC, in 2000, could have held that up or allowed it to happen. Indeed, we held it up for some time. And Honorable J.H. Mensah and Honorable Nana Addo had to invite me and my general secretary to plead with us to support the 98 members of NPP to be able to elect Peter Ajete as the first Speaker of Parliament for that government. You see, the party, even though we had only three seats, made a very, very big difference.
So it's not just the president. It's not just the presidency. Yes, it's not just the presidency. And
NDC couldn't form the government without the PNC.
Yes, we remember that. So you, by your argument, it's not just the presidency that the PNC seeks, you know, to get.
No, we are seeking the presidency, but we can do other things along the way.
Okay, I'll come back to you, Dr. Mahama. Hold on briefly. CDD, we want to make an input. Paul Abrahamper Mensah is the program officer of CDD. Now, Mr. Abrahamper Mensah, let's talk about the weaknesses of Dr. Edward Mahama. Why has he not been able to make any significant impact in the presidential elections, anytime it stands?
Yeah. Good evening, and good evening to my listeners. Thank you for this opportunity, and good evening to Dr. Edward Mahama. My brother, you know, in elections and in politics, we talk of numbers, and it's not only, I'm not speaking in terms of only Dr. Mahama and PNC. I'm talking in terms of all other lesser parties. It's not easy for only one person to make impact in politics. Dr. Mahama, over the years, has made through his political party. It's significant because the people within, the electorate within his political party, think he's a credible candidate who, when given the support, can make impact in the people of Ghana. And therefore, that's why he comes along. So, in this, that said, I want to say that any other candidate who is put up to contest in the name of PNC will not make difference if the entire supporters and the party structures, the chairman, all other elected executives do not fashion up a strategy, a plan that can push the party ahead.
Okay.
Candidate, a candidate, and is supported by the entire political party.
All right, Paul, I'm afraid we have to end it here. Thank you very much for this wonderful input. Dr. Mahama, so
yes, sir.
I'm sure you listened to what Mr. Abrahamper Mensah is saying. The PNC as a party, do you think that you have the structures? You've been in and out of court, a lot of, you know, struggles here and there. Is the party strong enough to go into next year's elections, you know, and do well?
Well, our Congress will determine whether we're strong. As I said, one of my objectives is to try to unify the party at the Congress. If we come out united, I am sure. Look, electoral miracles do, election team miracles do occur. You know, Tanzania recently, where the guy had two seats to begin with, went to 40, and won the presidency? Any political party stands the chance of winning if they compete. If you don't compete, you can't win.
Are you referring to President Sata of Zambia?
Zambia, right.
But then, do you not think that one of the reasons why your party is not united is because of the stand that the Council of Elders has taken? The Council of Elders is supporting you, but there are others who are also interested in running.
They are not supporting
you. They should be neutral.
Listen, they haven't. They urge me to run.
Because they support you.
Pardon?
They urge you to run because they support you.
Yes.
And that's
they
what
support me because they have seen the kind of leadership I have given to the party over the years.
And other candidates...
I have only one vote at Congress.
Other interested candidates may find that unpleasant because the Council of Elders is supposed to play a neutral role.
Listen, they didn't do this only because they just support me. They did this because they've looked at the people who are dragging the party to court. For example, you know that the court awarded costs to the other people for bringing us to court unnecessarily. Basically, the Council of Elders tried to settle this matter, and they couldn't, and it had to go to court. It was the judge who determined.
So you mentioned Electra miracles. What kind of miracle are you expecting in 2012?
Well, if you remember the 2008 election, I had an ad which incidentally GBC refused to air because it was a TV, not GBC radio, it was a TV ad, and GBC refused to air it. It was two trains bearing the colors of NDC and MPP. And I was telling the people of Ghana, make a change. Listen, the land of gold, the land of diamond, the land of oil, people are still suffering massively because of the kind of leadership that we have, corrupt leadership. This government is corrupt.
So, Dr. Mahama, I just asked about the kind of miracle you're expecting. You haven't told me.
The miracle comes from God, but it comes after we have given our message. The message is that the people of Ghana will wake up. Who would have known that Mubarak will be removed from power in the way it did? Who would have known that Libya, Gaddafi, will be removed from power the way he has been done? The people of Ghana will wake up one day and say, why, and say to themselves, why do we have diamond? Why do we have gold? Why do we have oil? And we are poor like this. Let me just tell you something. Yesterday, a lady, I don't know, she's a widow. She came with her two kids. I said, doctor, we don't have anything to eat. She didn't come to me because I'm a political figure. She came to me because I have a clinic in the neighborhood.
All right, Dr. Mahama.
I wondered here in Accra, people, and she told me something. She said, you know, it's very difficult to beg. She said, I searched my soul before coming to you.
Dr. Mahama, I'm afraid we have to end it here for lack of time. So I'm afraid we have to say goodnight to you. But briefly, the doctors are on strike. You are a doctor yourself. Do you have any message for them?
I have a message for the government. Doctors do say, I've worked in Kolobo there. I've had on occasion to carry a patient from fourth floor maternity to second floor maternity on the head to do surgery on her. The doctors are suffering, and the government should step up.
Thank you.
Step up and stop calling them terrorists.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mahama. Dr. Edward Mahama is a leading member of the PNC, a former presidential candidate, and he still wants to stand and run for next year's election. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News. It came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. George Ahanta Kwame Krum says, African Watch may be right or wrong, but my MP's performance is very bad. Rainstorm hit his area. He was not able to pay an official visit to the people of the area. This program is produced by Bayer Tagama, Christopher Siedu, Kingsley Obinchere, and Edmond Tete. Tonight, Enoch Walker technically produced the program. My name is Abraham Asari. Have a good night.